Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 20 years now. And we praise the Lord for all the good messages, for this radio station, and for all the prayers and provision, and most of all for you, the listener. We thank you for tuning in each and every week. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every week and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be looking at part two in our study of deliverance from demons, the spiritual warfare that we all go through. And so this is an important subject to understand and know about spiritual warfare, what it means for you as a Christian, what it means for you if you're not a believer, how you can get out ahead of the demons, how you can destroy the demons and get delivered from the demonic influence that they have over your life. So if you have your Bible there today, turn it to chapter 12 in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 43. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, our 20th year. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. And we're doing well. We're having a lot of rain, and we have about 2 to 3 more weeks of the short rain season. So that is going to coincide with the end of our maize harvest, or we'll be harvesting in about a month. So everything is looking really good with the crops. We have a project in mind to build a school out there in Makunda, and we ask you to pray about it. Come alongside this mission if you can. We need $300,000. We're asking the Lord for $300,000 to build this school. It'll be a primary school for grades 1 through 8. There in Makunda, many children drop out of school before they get to grade 8. So we're going to be a school to encourage them and give them good teaching in the grades, good teaching in basic subjects. But at the same time, it'll be an evangelism tool because we're going to tell the people about Jesus Christ, tell the young people about Jesus and encourage them to walk with the Lord, teach them Bible studies. And so it's going to be a great evangelism tool. Many of these children from Makunda come from another religion, and so it'll be an opportunity to teach them about Jesus Christ. So if you can help us with that project, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we'll share more details. I can get you pictures of the blueprints, all of that, and we want to hear from you, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Well, today we're going to be talking about deliverance from demons, spiritual warfare. And so this is a big, big subject in the Bible. It's a big subject in your life, in my life. Everybody battles demons. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and give you life abundantly. That's John 10:10. And so we are all in a battle with the thief. We're all in a battle with the devil, the enemy of our souls. And so you need to understand what the battle is about, how the battle unfolds. You need to understand strategies and wisdom so that you can take part in the battle and not get destroyed. And so if you're a born-again believer, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have confessed his name and put your trust in him, and you've been baptized, you're a born-again believer, you know that you are a target for the devil. You are now a target, and you have a target on your back, and he wants to shoot his arrows into you, the wiles of the evil one. The Bible calls it the wiles, the schemes, the arrows of the evil one will be shot at you, and the devil is going to do everything he can to take you out. And some of you have been battling these demons, the same demon, the same addictions, the same warfare. You've been going around the mountain over and over and over, and you're battling in the same way that you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. That's the devil's plan. He wants to weaken you. He wants to tear you down, and he wants to eventually weaken you to the point where he will pull you away from your walk with the Lord, and he will get you pulled away to the point where you no longer pursue your destiny. You no longer move in towards the calling that God has for you. You're not excited about Bible study. You're not excited about going to church or being in the fellowship or prayer. Your prayer time is a struggle. And so this is the way the devil weakens us. He tries to get us to give in to him and give in to the wiles, give in to the arrows of the evil one. And so we're going to look at today how you can protect yourself, how you can defend yourself, and the methods and the strategies that the devil uses to destroy us, to steal from us, and to eventually weaken us to the point where we're taken out of our destiny. Well, chapter 12, verse 43 is a very important scripture. It's one that Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, and he's telling them how spiritual warfare operates in their life. So let's look at verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. He's talking about the spirit. He goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Well, some translations say he goes through waterless places or dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Verse 44, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So I'm going to stop right there and just comment on this. Well, an unclean spirit is a demon spirit. Last week we talked about Legion, the man in the Gadarenes living among the tombs in the Gadarenes, and that was in Mark chapter 5. If you don't remember that, go back and read that. This man had an unclean spirit, the Bible tells us. Well, he had 2,000 demons in him, because when Jesus cast them out, they went into 2,000 head of swine, and they went into the swine, and the swine went running down the hill and drowned in the sea. Well, the demons didn't drown, but the swine did. And so that man had an unclean spirit, and he called himself Legion. His name that he called himself was Legion because he said, we are many. And so the demons in him were many. Well, totally, they were 2,000. And so they were many, and so it is possible to have multiple numbers of demons, not just one. We are not just one demon, we are many. And so it's possible that you have many, it's possible that I have had many. I've hopefully got rid of most of them. I still have battles in my life, and we all have battles even to the last day that we're on this earth, because the devil will never leave you alone. He will never try to take your destiny and your calling away from you. And he's not a gentleman. He doesn't care what your status is in the church or what your status is any place in the community or in the nation. The devil will try to steal everything from you, kill you, and destroy you. And so Jesus is saying here, when this unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Well, he's a territorial spirit. Just like we saw in the story of Legion, this demon is a territorial spirit. So when he goes out of a man, well, the question would be, how does he go out of a man? Well, if you make a confession of faith, or you go to a revival or crusade or a conference, church conference of some kind, you may get a temporary deliverance. You may get a breakthrough that makes you feel like you're moving in the right direction. You may get a breakthrough that takes you higher with the Lord. And so you cast that demon out, and it may be just a temporary thing, depending on what you do. After you get that deliverance, it may just be a temporary thing, or it may be something lasting and enduring, depending on your discipline, depending on your walk with the Lord. And so he gets cast out, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and he finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. The demons always want to inhabit people. The demons want to go back to the house. They want to stay in the house of the people that they have inhabited, that the people that they have been invited into. They will go back to that place because that is their home. They don't have a house. It's not out in the waterless places. They want to be in a human being. The demons want to take over and manipulate and control and get soul ties and connections to human beings. That is their home. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the nature of demons here in just a little bit. Where do the demons come from? Who are they actually? But for now, we just know that these demons, when they get cast out, even on a temporary basis or an instantaneous basis, they will then stay in the waterless places only for a period of time that they can go back into that house from which they came. That is their desire, to always take over and to come back into that place that they call their home. And so he comes back to the house from which he came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Well, what does that mean? That sounds like a really tidy scene, a real tidy situation. It's empty, it's swept, and put in order. Actually, that's not a good thing for a Christian. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You don't want to be called empty. When you become a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within you. He will dwell in you and with you. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. If you go back and read chapter 14 in the book of John, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Paraclete, he will come to live with you and in you. And when you have that Spirit in you, in your spirit, you cannot be taken over. That is demon possessed. You can still have demon harassment. You can have demon torment. You can have demons trying to attach themselves to your soul, but you cannot be demon possessed like the man Legion was there in the tombs in the Gadarenes. You cannot be demon possessed as long as you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. And so you will not be empty. You are not empty when the demons try to come and take over your spirit. You will not be empty. They can attach to your soul or torment your soul, but they cannot take you over if you are a born again believer. And so this situation, it says that when he comes back and checks out his home, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So everything looks clean from the outside. Inside, it looks clean. On the outside, it looks clean, but there is nothing, Holy Spirit of God, filling up the house from which it came. And so then in verse 45, it says, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. And so the demon comes back, he checks out the house. The house is empty, it's swept and put in order, but it is not incorporated by the Holy Spirit. It's not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So the demon says, aha, I found my home, and I'm going to go get seven more demons more wicked than myself, and we're going to come back and we're going to make this guy's situation worse than what it was before I left the first time. And beloved, that's the nature of addictions. That's the way addictions work. That's why when people live in an addictive lifestyle with drugs or alcohol or pornography, it is extremely, extremely difficult to get away from those lifestyles, because even if they get a break for 30 days, say they go to rehab, feel like they've made a breakthrough, feel like they've broken some chains off of their life, they go back, and they go back to their neighborhood, they go back to their own family, back to their friends. First thing you know, they start drinking again. First thing you know, they start doing drugs again. Or first thing you know, they get on the computer and start to look at pornography again. And the demons are back, not just the original one, but they come back sevenfold. And so the nature of that addiction is that it gets stronger over time. It becomes more difficult to break free from it, more difficult to see a true breakthrough. And so you really, really have to pursue the Lord. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. You have to really pursue the Lord, put him in the place, the chain breaker, the bondage breaker, put him in a place where he can truly break the chains off of you, get you delivered once and for all. And then you have to discipline yourself in the spirit, discipline yourself, walk in the spirit. And when you do that, then you can get set free and delivered from it. You're not just gritting your teeth and trying through your own willpower to escape some kind of torment or some kind of bondage. You are actually delivered from it. That demon can't enter you when you are truly filled with the spirit of the living God. That demon can't enter and break in and then bring seven more wicked than himself. And the last state of you then is worse than the first. Well, so that paints a picture of the battle right there. That is a battle that every believer and even every non-believer goes through, because our battle isn't against flesh and blood. Our battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so our battle is continuous until the last day that you die, the last breath that you take. There will be a battle over your soul and over your spirit. And it's a spiritual battle that eventually you will either give in and give in to the devil, give in to the demons, or you will give in to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then you will be able to battle in his strength and battle in his victory, and his word will then deliver you from the demons and the demonic oppression. Well, what are the demons? If you go back to Genesis in chapter 6, verse 1, this is where I believe the Bible teaches the demons came from, and they are unseen beings. You can't see them in the natural realm, but in the spirit realm, if God were to open your spiritual eyes, you could see the demons. And so they are multitudes and multitudes, millions of demons. And it says here in Genesis 6, verse 1, now it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And so the daughters of men were beautiful. The sons of God took these daughters for themselves. Well, who are the sons of God? I believe they're the sons of the line of Seth, the ungodly line of Seth, the people who had made bad choices, bad decisions, and become an ungodly, rebellious line. And so these daughters were then married to the sons of God, the sons of Seth. And verse 2, then the Lord said, my spirit will not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Well, prior to that time, men were living 700, 800, 900. Methuselah lived 969 years, and Adam lived about 900 years. And so that was longevity that was characteristic of the first people here on the earth. But now God says, I'm going to limit your time here on the earth to 120 years. Then in verse 4, it says, now there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And so there was giants on the earth at that time. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great, verse 6, in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. In other words, man was so corrupted and so polluted by these demonic influences, what the fallen angels had taught them and given them instruction in demonic ways and demonic pathways. And so the Lord was sorry, verse 6 says, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So God looked at man on the earth. There was so much corruption, so much pollution and defilement in the heart of man. All of his thoughts were evil. And God said, I'm sorry that I've made man. God said, I'm going to wipe them out. And I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to start from scratch with just Noah and his family. And so God gave Noah instructions to start, build the ark. Noah and his family, 8 people in total, plus the animals, 1 pair of animals of the clean animals were then taken into the ark. And so Noah was the picture of God of salvation. Noah was the one who then started the next generation of people after the flood. And so verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. And so God came to the place and to the point where he was so sorry that he'd made man that he said the only way that we can rectify this situation is to destroy all the men and women and all the birds and the animals on the earth. And so that is the reason then that he brought the flood. Verse 8, Genesis 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then the story of the flood then comes after that. And so God has made a determination that he is not going to abide or strive with man any longer, except for one man, Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Noah and his wife and his children and their wives. And so Noah was the start of a new covenant, Genesis chapter 9, a new covenant, the covenant of Noah, seed time and harvest. God said, I'm never going to wipe out mankind again by flood. The sign of the rainbow is the covenant that God made with man, with Noah, that he will never do that again. The next judgment is going to be through fire. And so it will be a time of judgment at the end of the age. But for now, we have seed time and harvest. We have seasons. And God is promising us that we will not be wiped out by a flood, just as Noah was in the days of that pollution and the defilement of mankind on the earth. What is the solution then to people who are under tremendous oppression and depression and despair and addiction and all these ways that the devil torments, all these ways that the devil tries to destroy? What is the solution? How do you get free? How do you break free and deal with these demons? Go to Galatians chapter 5, memorize this verse, understand this verse, get it down in your spirit, these two verses here, because this is the solution. And we'll talk more about this next week. But this is what Paul says, the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill or carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, or wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. You want to do something, you want to live right, you want to break free of that addiction, but you can't because you don't have enough of the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit in you to give you the power to break free from that addiction. And verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, you're not under compulsion to try to keep the law. You're not just gritting your teeth and by your own willpower, by your own strength, trying to keep a good law or be a good person or get rid of those bad habits, whatever it is that is oppressing you. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, you're not bound or under compulsion, but you are led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit gives you the power. When you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, the Spirit gives you the power. It gives you the strength to live a life that is pleasing to God, live a life free of torment, live a life that is free of all kinds of addictions and stuff that tears you down physically and spiritually and in the natural. You will live a life that is pleasing to God. You will be set free. It may not happen to you in a week or a month. It may take a while, but you can get set free when you live a Spirit-filled life. You can get set free of those addictions and all that bondage that keeps you in the grip of the enemy. And that is God's plan for your life, that you be set free by the Spirit of the living God. So this I say to you, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So praise God. God's given us a Spirit, the living God, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Paraclete. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can break free from the things that are tormenting us, sent to us by the devil. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry, not only to keep these radio broadcasts coming, but to help us with these projects in Africa, spread the word, the good news of the gospel here in Kenya and other countries here in Africa and across the USA with this radio broadcast. Contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas. Box 92, Norton, Kansas. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests. You can also go to PayPal, paypal.me/gatheroutcast. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcast. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.